The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side. Happy holidays. We got a jam-packed show here with issue 61, CW's Crisis on Infinite Earths. Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. Hopefully this helps you get your Christmas and holiday shopping done. If you're like me, you walk around the malls with an earpiece in, listening to the sweet sounds of your favorite podcast. That would be us. Well, that would be us for you. For me, I don't walk around the mall listening to myself talk. I have tough enough time with that as it is. So let's head into the store and see what holiday music John has in store for us this week. Get it? In store?
It's Christmas. Baby, please come home.
Happy holidays again, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Another great choice of music here. You too. Can't go wrong. That's not
nope,
the title.
Cannot. Could be.
Yeah. No. Hey, quickly. We didn't mention it last week. I'd seen it last week. Did you see the trailer for Stargirl?
Yeah. Well, I watched. It was on the Aftermath show.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, so yeah, I did see it.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I mean, I think it looks good. You know, they're billing it as like a 100% CW.
That's
show.
What I was gonna
like,
say.
That's not the case either. It's like
right.
There was no mention whatsoever about DC Universe when they were talking about that show. Now I know it was a show that was on the CW talking about it, so
right.
I guess they're you know playing up their strengths, but. I would have thought they would have said at least airing first on DC Universe or something like that, but it has the look and feel definitely of a CW show.
Right.
So it's going to be a CW show on DC Universe, not the other way around. But overall, I think it looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like a CW show. I wonder, it'll probably cross over. Why wouldn't it?
That's what
they
I was wondering.
Now.
Yeah.
And we'll get into more of that in a little bit. But I felt the same way how they were really pushing that it was the CW show. I mean, they introduced it as
right.
a CW show, Stargirl.
Right.
And I'm like, it was originally a DC Universe show. But,
yeah.
Did you happen to catch Harley Quinn on TBS?
No, I didn't.
So it's unedited, but it's beeped.
Oh, okay.
And they only beeped the F-bombs. Like, so she still
right,
said...
Right, because you could say the other stuff on TV.
After 11
yeah.
o'clock or whatever on CW, I right. guess. Or not CW, PBS? PBS? Yeah, TBS.
TBS.
Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, yeah TBS. Yeah, so it was all beeped out. And,
okay.
But it was... I think that's why I'm really hopeful. And I know you and I talked about it off air. Last week, actually. I'm really hopeful that the DC Universe becomes the CW commercial-free, whatever you want.
Right.
Commercial-free swears.
Right.
But because there is no commercial-free CW right now anywhere. So, you know, and that's like I said to you the other day, that it's like, why wouldn't CW offer a commercial-free version? And
it seems odd that they don't.
You know, like I'd pay for that. It's to get all my shows commercial free. I, you know, take my money because I watch so many
right.
of the shows, and now that I'm not recording them, and the only way I can get them is streaming. I have to watch. It takes me an hour to watch a show.
I guess the only thing I say to that is,
I'm an idiot.
No, but like, what about the other? Like, is that where I'm going to find Supernatural commercial free or Nancy Drew commercial free? Or because those are not DC properties.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Or
so, like, if the CW was going to have its commercial-free version be DC Universe, it would have to hold true for all of their shows.
That maybe.
You wouldn't find Riverdale over there, because that's an Archie property. And, you know, Supernatural's going off the air, but people are still going to want to watch the back seasons commercial-free.
So do they move into, like, maybe you get those commercial-free on HBO Max?
See, I don't know.
And DC is comic related universe stuff. Right. And that's the thing is HBO Max is going to have a ton of other content as well. So
right,
there's no reason you couldn't do that.
Well, I think that makes more sense because HBO Max isn't called the DC.
Right.
You know, so it would make more sense for them to go their commercial free, I think, than it would DC Universe. Because, like I said, it makes sense for the Arrowverse shows, but it doesn't make sense for Supernatural or all the other shows they
have. You and I had speculated when we first heard about HBO Max, like literally the day it came out that we heard that this was coming, which was like a year ago. We were like, and we had just signed up for DC Universe. We were probably right in the middle of season one of Titans. And you're like, our first impression was, well, this will just roll into that.
Right.
But
I still think will happen eventually.
But it doesn't look like the scales are tipping that way because they're saying there's going to be two entities. And it's like, if you were just going to roll it in, why would you say Doom Patrol is going to be on both? It's like, why would you put it on both if you're going to roll one into the other? Yeah. So there's got to be a reason, like, if you only want this much content and you don't care about the rest of HBO, you can have it for $7.99 or $6, whatever it is, right? Right. And then maybe that'll also be your commercial free stuff. And then if you want everything, you can go over here. But they're going to keep it separate. Like CW commercial free will be over at DC. So people like you and I, we're going to have both because there's going to be content in both places that aren't intermingled. So, I don't know. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what, I really don't know what they're going to do. I feel like
we'll know soon enough. I mean, HBO Max comes out, Stargirl comes out in, you know, just a few months. Right. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah, either way, I'm probably going to end up with both of them anyways. At least, like I said, at least for now, I don't know. I'm still not sure about DC Universe. It depends on what they do with that service.
Because of course.
If it stays pretty much as is, then I don't think I'm going to continue to subscribe to it.
Right. What's the exclusive content that's going to keep you there?
Right. And it's just Titans. And so far, and as much as I love Titans, it would be I'm not going to be a subscriber. And then for a month, I'm going to subscribe for 1 month and I'm going to watch all of Titans and I'm going to turn it back off again. Because they don't have enough to keep me going. Now, I did watch the second episode of Harley Quinn and I liked it infinitely more than the first episode. So I do actually like it quite a bit.
Really?
More
we didn't
than I
really talk about the first episode, did we? Because I liked both. Oh, yes, we
briefly
did.
Talked about
it. You thought there was
a
little too much swearing, which was ironic.
Well, yeah, but that's not why I didn't.
Right, right. I'm just remembering the conversation.
Right, but I thought the second episode I liked a lot more. But again, I don't know if that is good enough that I would subscribe to a whole year of DC Universe just to watch that cartoon.
Look at it; it's $7. I don't care.
But $7 stacks up.
No,
when
I
it's
know.
$7 times 19 different streaming services. You know?
Yeah, so, I just cut the cord. I'm saving over $100. Yeah. So it's like, I'm like, and I was already getting that anyways. So,
right.
And I'm already paying for HBO now. So HBO Max is part of that. It's the same price. So nothing's going to, I'm already getting everything. All that's going to happen is the content on each of them is going to change. And I'm looking forward to that. So, you know what I mean? So for people like us, nothing is changing in our wallets. It's just what content is where. And like you said, like, do you want to save $7 by losing DC? You're going to save $7. You're not really spending an additional dollar now. I did like the second episode of Harley Quinn as well. I don't know if I liked it more. I liked them both the same.
I guess I see your point in liking the second one more because I like where the story's going. I like how it's not where it's going, but how they're pacing it. Yeah. It was a fun episode, you know, and I loved Bane.
Well, I was just saying, I loved it. I like, that's why I like that episode so much more, because I loved the other villains.
Yes.
Like, Bane was awesome. Such a playoff of Tom Hardy's.
Yeah. Bane, oh, I mean, it was, it's like, at times you're like, did they get Tom Hardy?
Yeah. But the interactions with him and the Joker and were just great, you know?
Yeah.
The whole thing with the dinner. And I like, I said, it was just a great episode.
Yeah.
It was really
Bane
funny.
Starts talking and they're like, no, just stop. It was so good. It was so good.
Yeah.
And then when she busts into the party, she didn't know it was a kid's party.
Yeah. It was
really good. It was really good. Oh, those covers from last week, the Francisco Martina.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing, now that's two covers in a row he's doing. He's doing 86 and this is 87.
Yeah, well, I thought he had 85. I think he's done more than two in a row. He's had a few.
Did he do Tom King's 85 as well?
I think so.
Did
he? Yeah.
I couldn't remember. This 87 really surprises me. With Catwoman on the cover?
Yeah. Well, you wonder what the story's going to be.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, I just think it's funny because you're getting away from Tom King. I thought they would be getting away from the Batcat story, which they very well may be, and he just did this cover. It might have nothing to do with what's inside. But
you're telling me that the cover of a book could actually not have anything to do with what's on the inside of the book?
John, I didn't know. You might not know this.
The hell you say.
Yeah. So did you notice the bottom of her shoe?
I'm just noticing it right now.
Isn't that awesome?
At first. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Isn't that awesome? It's so cool. It's a paw, a cat paw.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was so cool. I saw that and I was like, it's so well done. It's like very artistic, but yet she's very realistic.
Yeah.
Very well done.
She looks good there.
And her, eyeshadow she's got on, it's like red.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really good. Really, really well. That's a really
nice. It's a really good cover.
That's a really nice cover. Batman's a little more stylized.
Yeah.
Being in the background, but her in the foreground, that's really good. And the next one that you talked about, was it 20, is it 1018 Detective Comics?
Yeah, the Detective Lieber Mayo.
Yeah.
Cover. Yeah, also looks really good.
You know what that artwork, did he do the work for,
He did Batman Damned.
Batman Damned, yeah. It looks just like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like the Batman from Batman Damned. That's a nice one. I like the other one better.
I do too.
But that is nice.
But yeah, they're both really pretty strong.
The detail in his cape on the second one, on the Lieber Mayo.
Yeah.
The detail in his cape, how it's spread out, and it's like, it's pretty cool. Check those out.
Yep.
All right. That's all we got, right? You don't have any other news, do you?
No. I don't. Not that I can think of.
All righty. You ready to get into Crisis on Infinite Earths?
Sure.
The multiverse. Every existence multiplied by possibility and spread out in infinite measure. Now there is a malevolent force at work, one driven by a singular goal, the destruction of all there is.
There's a wave of antimatter sweeping across this universe, destroying everything in its path.
You want some help?
The entire universe needs you.
Across space and time exists seven heroes who can't save the multiverse.
I'll find them. You are Clark Kent, right?
Bruce? Kate.
We need your help to stop this antimatter wave.
All right. Then Flash.
Oliver! It is time! Has the planet been evacuated yet?
Not entirely.
Then it's not time!
One thing is certain. Everything we know, everything there is, and everything there ever was, is doomed.
All right, So my first question is, if this is Crisis on Infinite Earths, isn't there an Earth where this crisis doesn't happen? If it's Infinite Earths, isn't there an Earth where this doesn't, isn't that the idea?
Well, ultimately, I thought it was supposed to be Earth 1 would be the one Earth where it didn't happen, right? But it did.
Yeah.
So, spoilers. You know, we're going to talk spoilers, so.
Yeah, I should
at the end of episode 3, Earth 1 was wiped out, too. So, technically, there are no Earths. There's nothing anymore. There's just the seven paragons in Purgatory, or whatever.
Right.
Not Purgatory, but the, I forget what they called it, the crawl space or whatever.
She had been there before.
Right.
Sarah had been there before.
Which, again, you know, we do this a lot where we jump right to the end at the beginning of our shows, but
that's what you
do. It really bothered me. Like, I really didn't like that they wiped out the last Earth also. Because that means they are forced, they absolutely have to undo something now.
Well,
whereas
I
thought
that
the original
all along.
No, I didn't, because I thought the intention was that was going to be the one Earth that survived, and that's why everything was going to be merged to it.
Right.
But now they actually have to undo everything, because something has to come back. They can't not have a planet.
Right,
you know?
But I knew in episode 1 that that was their plan. So, and I'll tell you why, because, so for the theory that you were saying is what I was ascribing to that too. Because what happens is, what you would think is, they would save people and everybody would come to Earth 1, so that would be the DC universe, right?
Right.
But the problem was, they didn't save everybody. They didn't save anybody, really. So, like, in the first, the opening of episode 1, the Titans died.
Right.
But you know that has another season.
Right.
So they're gonna have to undo that. Then, even in, what was it, episode 3, Black Lightning shows up, and his family's gone. But they have a season to go on to. So you knew right away they were gonna undo all of that.
But you could imagine his show going on without his, with his family being dead. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't necessarily have to come back.
That would have been a shock if, like, they're all like,
that's what you do, right?
You know what I mean? It's like, and then what do? You rewrite the show to, like, I did think the same thing, but I'm like, the logistics of that for the actors, for everybody involved, you're like, oh yeah, you're only in it until, and you don't even get in, you're not even in the crisis episode, you're just gone.
Right. Right. Yeah, like his whole family just died and they never even got their goodbye.
Right.
Just like, they're just gone.
Well, let's talk about that scene for a minute. I thought that was a great scene.
Which one? When they met Jefferson?
The scene when Jefferson and Barry talked, and
right.
Barry was trying to, you know, tell him he knows what he's feeling for loss, and Jefferson, I mean, the way he portrayed everything, like, he literally just lost his entire family. And
right.
It's like, and in that conversation, he says, like, he's like, I tried to raise my daughters that way. And then he stopped and was like, my daughters. Like, they're gone. And you're like, I was like, oh my God, I'm getting emotional. You know, you're listening to him because you're like, could you imagine that? And, you know, of course, my comic mind is thinking like, well, this is impossible because this is, you know, they got to bring these people back.
Right.
And it's like, there were other instances throughout the 3 episodes that you're like, well, that world has to come back because the people that are on it have shows. It's
right.
Like, you know, so I knew, like, I was surprised they demolished, you know, Earth 1. I was surprised at that, but not in the same way that you're surprised, because you're like, well, I thought that's where they were going to move on from, but they would have had to pull everybody out. That first episode was pretty funny, where they just killed off all, like, Batman 66 and your Burt Ward.
Yeah.
Just, holy red sky, and he's like, gone.
Yeah.
And it's, that was pretty funny. Alexander Knox sitting on
the
park
bench.
Yeah,
I was saying, there were some cameos that we knew about, but then there was a few that we didn't know about. Because we didn't know about Knox. Like, he was, one had been kept under wraps.
No, I heard about that one.
Oh,
I was not surprised when he showed up. I'd heard that one. I'm trying to think.
We knew about Burt Ward.
Yeah.
There weren't any other ones that I didn't know about. Well, actually, yes, there was. Well, no, there wasn't. Because even Lucifer Well, even Lucifer, which I was very surprised to see, because he had come out and specifically said that he wasn't part, you know, when the rumor came out that, you know, said he was part of it, I believed him. You know, I was stupid enough to believe him.
Well,
so
I
he came out and
I,
said,
yeah.
He came out and specifically said, no, I'm not part of that cameo. And then when he showed up, it was pretty awesome.
Well, like, the reports were that he was on the set. And he was, and that's why I had,
right.
I had tweeted out the other day that I'm like, I thought Lucifer was, cause somebody had tweeted out all the people that are supposed to be in it, but they didn't include Lucifer. And then somebody had said like, no, that got debunked. Right. He was just on set. And I didn't reply. I was going to reply and say, nobody just shows up for a crisis like this on set and isn't in the show. You know, like, hey, you know, I'm somewhere in the world. I might as well drop in and see how this show's going. So
I believed it. I
believed
that
he was
going to
be
there.
I believe
he was.
No,
I believed that he was not. Yeah. I was surprised to see him.
Yeah. I was psyched I saw that Earth 66.
Yeah.
And then
666. Wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that what I said?
Yeah.
Oh, I said 66. Yeah, 666. I was like, this is Lucifer. So, So I watched this first thing in the morning. So it aired Tuesday night. I can't get it because you're streaming it. So I get it first thing in the morning. I'm watching it 6 o'clock in the morning. He shows up. I was psyched. I come home from work because my wife and I love that show. We absolutely love Lucifer, that show. And I come home from work. She comes in the door and I go, you got to see this. And I pull it up. She watched the whole scene with me. I'm explaining to her who all the characters are, like, you know, Oliver's daughter. And I'm like, and you remember him from the episode? And she's like, kinda. And I'm like, Diggle. And he comes, the door opens and she's like, I want to watch the show again. She's like, she loves Lucifer too. She loves the show, but.
Yeah, I do
that's
too.
It was such a great scene. He was so him.
He was so good in it, right?
He like hit on all three
Lucifer.
Of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know.
It was so funny. It was so when he looked at Diggle and Diggle like, he looks at Diggle and goes, "Aren't you a tease?"
Diggle. He said something like bald and beautiful like my brother or something
that. Yeah. In a complete dislike for me or distaste for me or something like that. He's like and I can't remember what Daigle said, but then he's like, are you going to tell
aren't
us?
Aren't you a tease?
Are you going to help us or not? He's like, aren't you a tease? Yeah. With those eyes. He was so funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, that was really good. All right, that's it. No.
Yeah.
that was my favorite part of the third episode.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Because, like I said, I didn't expect it. I was surprised when he opened the door.
Yeah. Well, once you see the 666, you're like, you know that's who's coming.
Yeah, well, true. Like, I guess that's when I picked it up.
Yeah. I was like.
Because I think I even said that I looked over at Lydia, who was, like, sleeping and barely tolerating the show. And I was like,
oh, really?
Oh, hey, Lucifer.
Yeah.
She likes Lucifer, too, though, so she kind of looked at it. But
I think that says something about us.
I know, right?
So. Why don't we get to the whole Oliver thing? What do you think of that? Dying in episode one. They're bringing him back.
I wasn't surprised that they brought him back because I knew that.
Right.
And like, I was surprised that he died at the end of episode one. Like, as much as we thought that it was going to happen, I didn't expect it to happen that quickly.
Yeah, which was great.
And there had been a rumor a while back that he was going to come back as the Spectre. But again, I had kind of put that out of my head and forgotten about it.
Yeah.
Till, you know, so when it happened, I was like, oh, as soon as I saw Jim Corrigan, I was like, oh shit.
Language.
I'm sorry. I was like, Oliver's going to become the Spectre, you know?
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's awesome. He even has the green hood already, so he doesn't even have to change that. That was cool. I still wonder how that plays out because when this is all said and done, there's still one more Arrow episode. So
I think that's the crossover to his daughter. I think they're going to handle
he's already handed her
the suit.
Right, but is he going to be the Spectre or is he like who's he going to be in that episode? That's I'm wondering. Like if this is going to get undone before that episode comes.
Well, here's the thing. Like we said before, we know Felicity goes off to be with him in the future. Like what is it, 20, 30 years later?
2046. Yeah, 2046 or whenever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So 25 years in the future from his daughter's future, she goes off to be with him. So you know he's not dead.
Right.
So he's off serving, doing something someplace else, which who knows what that could be. And it's like that, but maybe that's where he is.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm just wondering how that's going to play out, because I'm sure there's more, obviously there's more to come in the next 2 hours when this thing wraps up. I'm just wondering what he's going to be at the end of it, you know, when he gets to his final episode. And I also wonder, again, with all this being, like, everything's changing, right? The future's changing. Everything they're doing with Crisis is changing. So now I'm wondering what the spinoff show is even going to look like. Like, are they going to go back to 2046, or are they going to stay in the current timeline? Because technically that future is all rewritten and changed.
Right.
So I think they actually stay in the present, quote unquote, so they can continue to interact with the other
characters.
Because you think they're going to want to keep crossing them over with the other shows. And that would be hard to do if they're in the different, you know, if they're 20 years in the future. So,
well, they could always end up with like something like they do with Vibe, where they bounce back and forth between.
They could.
I mean, you have an entire, you know, Legends of Tomorrow. You have an entire show dedicated to bouncing through time.
You do.
Not that show is going to continue forever, but you can always add that into every series.
Right.
That ability. And that's what's part of, I think that's what's part of like even this. The Crisis is they're not only going between universes, they're jumping through time too.
Right.
You know, which I thought that was cool that they went to the, what planet, what Earth was it?
Future Ollie. Yeah.
Future Ollie with the one arm. Yeah. Where, remember, she hit his mechanical arm. She deadened it or whatever. I thought that was a really cool nod.
Was cool.
That scene was, and I'd always held on to that. I'm like, Ollie can't die because he gets old.
Right.
But that's an alternate universe.
It's a different Earth.
Yeah.
Right.
So he can. So that they're filling all the plot holes from earlier episodes and earlier crossovers or whatever.
Honestly, I thought that when they killed Ollie in episode one, I thought he was going to continue through the rest of the crossover with the older version.
Right.
Because, like, you know, I knew Stephen Amell was still going to be part of it.
Right.
And I was like, well, maybe they just bring the old guy, you know, the other version back in time. I was a little disappointed that when I was really hoping that during that time travel that the baby was going to have aged. Like, I wanted to see Superboy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I wanted to see
that
John
could be another part
Kent.
Of it, too.
Yeah.
Who knows how everything ages in this?
Right.
Which, like, well, and you had said earlier in the last week, you had said about the Suns show, Super Suns. So that's going to take place.
So at some point, you're going to have to have, at some point, you're going to have at least a 10-year-old or 11-year-old Superboy.
Right.
So now, you could just time jump. You know, you could just say the Lois and Clark show takes place 10 years from now or whatever. Like, I mean, you could just write it however you want, but I think they're probably going to.
I like everybody being in the same time frame because be neighbors.
That's why, right? That's why, I want them all to go out to dinner together and have parties. That's why I think they're going to artificially age him somehow. Like something's going to transpire that's going to accelerate his aging,
right?
So that he can, you know, like I said, basically be Superboy.
I had something. Oh, crap! I lost my train of thought.
That's all right.
It can happen in a show like this.
it does, because like all the threads of the Crisis,
that's what I'm saying.
We are also
not our show, the show we're talking about. It's like the thing's all over the place.
But I kind of wanted to circle back to the crossover. I mean, not the crossover, but the spinoff anyways, because, the reason why I brought it up is because depending on when this show
Spin-off?
Is going to take place, the Arrow spinoff.
The daughter.
The daughter spinoff is, like, I become a lot more interested in the show if it takes place in the current
timeline, time frame, yeah.
As opposed to the future, because it wasn't so much that I disliked the characters, I just disliked the world and what I thought the stories were going to be about. Well, but if they, I like Mia Smoke. Like, I like her as a character. So, like, her spinoff becomes more interesting to me if she stays around in the, like I said, in the current timeline. And,
right.
And interacts with, like, I could see her, it's like, almost like Team Arrow staying together and just picks up, like, she picks up the mantle. And I know that's not exactly what's going to happen, because I'm sure Diggle's not going to be part of that show.
Right.
But it's kind of like they pass the torch to the younger crowd, and they just continue on in Star City.
Right.
Doing what Ollie, like, she picks up the mantle for her dad and continues to go on. And that seems better to me than, hey, we're all going to go back to 2049 or wherever it is and fight right. the Deathstrokes and do all this stuff that nobody really cares about with evil Renee and, you know.
Right.
So I hope that's what happens out of this, but, you know, again.
I'm pretty sure it will be. I think, yeah. See, what I think is really interesting is I remember back when, you know, way back when, months ago, and you had zero interest in the spinoff, and I think.
Right.
I think, one, moving it to this time period helps, but I also think they've done a great job at bringing that character to life and giving some heart to that character with her interaction with Ollie.
Exactly. Because now I care about her.
Exactly.
A lot more than I did before.
And that, and I think that a lot of credit goes to her as an actress. I mean, the role that she is playing, and I mean, she's supposed to be this a badass too, but
right.
I think she's doing a really good job at pulling at that,
right.
and obviously Stephen Amell's doing a great job at passing that on to her. And this is, you know, this is his last season, and I wouldn't say he's mailing it in. He's doing I think he's doing a really good job at passing this on. I'm hoping that, and he has hinted at this in social media. That, you know, you never say never. So I'm sure he's going to have guest appearances back and stuff, but after maybe a year or so, see how their show goes.
Well, it just depends on what Oliver is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
and we're going to know on the 14th. Yeah. So, well, actually, maybe we don't know completely, because isn't there an episode or two after the series?
Well, I think there's one afterwards, right? This is on the 14th, and I thought like the 20th or 21st
is their
was
10th
his
episode,
right?
That's the final.
It's like
Arrow.
a two-hour finale or something. Mm. I think they said they were doing. So,
well, yeah, the 14th has two episodes. It's
right, but I thought his finale the week after was 2 hours. Also, maybe I'm remembering that wrong. But I thought I read that he was getting a 2-hour send off, or maybe it was an hour show and then like an hour after show kind of thing, like. The Crisis Aftermath or something.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure there's like a 2-hour event that they're doing for the finale of that. So I think Crisis will definitely set up the way that's going to end. I think we'll still know. We're going to know whether he's alive or dead or a Spectre or not Spectre by the time the Crisis ends.
My limited knowledge of Spectre, I don't know him that well. I know him a little bit. Could they change out the actor? Because I know, like, he has some crazy abilities. Like, he can manipulate time. He can do some stuff. But they couldn't use another actor, right? Because if that character alone could link everybody.
Well, I think, again, I'm not a huge, like, my Spectre knowledge is pretty limited too, but my understanding is he's tied to a mortal body. Like, he was tied to Jim Corrigan.
Right.
The cop. And he couldn't change his appearance necessarily to appear as somebody else. Like, he has to have a host. Like, Corrigan passed him on to Ollie. So Ollie could pass him on to somebody else, but then I don't think he jumps back and forth. But, you know, I think he has to.
So maybe that's what he does. Maybe Ollie passes him on to somebody else, and that's how the show goes on.
Right.
But then where's Ollie?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Know.
But, but what I'm saying is are they introducing Spectre through Ollie at first, and then he becomes another character that we will see throughout episodes. Basically, you know what Ollie could become? You don't even have to pass it on. He becomes the new, like, Constantine, and he pops in once or twice a year to link. Maybe he comes in just for the crossovers to link all of them together. You know what I mean? He's the,
yeah,
because he has, Spectre has that power. You know, he can bring everybody together from the different time periods and worlds and stuff. So I don't know. That could happen.
Yeah, I don't know either. I have no idea what they're going to do with that.
We're like supposed to be talking about this crossover.
I know.
We're speculating on future crossovers.
On the next crossover, which I did read something that's today or yesterday that said don't necessarily count on another big crossover next year, or like they may not, this might be the last one for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, you know what I do like? And it's part of what they do on Legends, and they brought it out in, I think it was episode 3 of the Crisis event. What's his name showed up from the Flash?
Elongated Man.
He shows up and he's all excited. Ralph Dibny. Yeah. And Ralph shows up and they're like, it's his first crossover.
Yeah.
They flat out say it.
Well, even in the beginning, I think it was episode 1 where Sarah goes, she says, I told the rest of the crew that they didn't have to do any more crossovers or something like that.
Yeah.
Like they really lean into it because remember we talked about that last year.
Yeah. Legends is awesome for that.
When Legends premiered last year, I think we made that joke because she said something about they were calling for the crossover and we said no or something like that. So yeah, they really do lean into it, and it's pretty good.
They did it. They did that on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
Yeah,
they did that on. Yeah, they. I can't remember the character's name, but he's the big black guy. I can't remember his name, but
I know who you're talking about. I don't remember his name either.
They ended up in space, and it was like the first episode of that season. They're in space, and they're like, "We're in space," and he goes, "Of course, we haven't been here yet."
Right.
Just like that. And they're like, why don't you go down the hallway there? That way they're being like hunted by monsters. You go down that way by yourself. And he goes, really? Really? Isn't that a little on the nose? Send the one black guy down the hall by himself.
By himself.
It's pretty funny. But yeah, I like when they lean into it like that. But that was Dibny. It's like, it's his first crossover. Yeah, he's a little excited. Good. No, but that whole thing with, Ollie and like, we went on our tangent there, but I think that really, you know, plays towards like how important Arrow was to this. And the reason I'm saying was is because I think that handshake and getting back to that scene that I said between, Black Lightning and Flash and shaking hands. I think that was, okay, now here we go. Here's another relationship we're going to have going. And you also have the relationship between Kara and Kate. You have that going. So it's like the CW, it's like it's the Arrowverse, but I don't know. I feel like it was kind of, I was thinking it was going to be like the Flashverse now, but I don't know. I'm thinking it might be more like Supergirl.
Yeah.
And I don't watch Supergirl religiously, but it seems like they're going in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that too. Although she's aggravated me a little bit through this crossover because I feel like she's been a little too whiny for Supergirl. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I kind of felt like that whole tangent where she was with the book and all that stuff. It's like, I thought she was being a little petulant through that whole thing. And it's like, there's a bigger picture here. You know, there's more going on than just bringing back, you know, your friends or whatever.
I think that's like, also the role they want her to play. She's supposed to be Hope.
Well, you know? Right.
And she's also playing off of Kate Kane's character.
Yeah.
You know, and Kate Kane is supposed to be Courage. So the dichotomy between the two of them, you're going to get that effect. You know what I mean? It's like, I really like the way that she played that.
Yeah. Yeah. She did a good job with that whole interaction, that whole scene. I thought she played it pretty well.
Like not backing down to Supergirl. I mean, she has no powers, but she did have the kryptonite.
We knew she had the kryptonite in her hand. So, you know, if she had to punch her, she was going to punch her.
Right.
But, you know, obviously she didn't want it to go there. and did a good job of kind of talking it down, because Kara didn't know she had the kryptonite. You know, she's like, you're not going to get very far fighting me, you know. And she's like, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, and, so. But in all honesty, you should be surprised, because
yeah.
a bat person, should I say, wouldn't go toe to toe without a plan.
Right. And, you know, Bruce just smashed you across the room with the same piece of kryptonite, so you shouldn't have been too surprised.
Yeah.
But
speaking of that, let's get into that. Kevin Conroy?
Yeah.
He was awesome.
And
I loved that character. I was surprised. And it's like that they went there with Batman. I thought he did a great job at that.
Yeah, I mean, he was awesome. He did a great job and all that. But yeah, I was a little disappointed that he turned out to be the bad guy, you know, the heel. You know, I didn't expect it to go that way. But thinking back to, like, Kingdom Come Batman, that's sort of how he was, but not in the end. Like, Kingdom Come doesn't end that way.
Right.
With him being like that. So I kind of thought that he was going to redeem himself
before he finished. They don't have that kind of time.
Well, I know. Well, even – but she gave him the opportunity.
Right.
And he could have taken it, and we would have all gone with it, because we know that he doesn't have that kind of time. But he didn't take it. Like, when the opportunity was offered, he didn't go that way. And I was like, well, that's disappointing, but cool at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I kind of wanted him – what bugs me a little bit is that we had the whole multiverse. At one point, we had, like, the whole multiverse to choose from. And we knew we had to find the 7 paragons. And they could have come from any point in any multiverse – but yet, it turns out that it's all the 7 people that we already had. Like, I was a little disappointed that all the paragons were the, except for the Atom, no. You know.
Yeah, we had the Kingdom Come Superman.
Right, okay.
That wasn't one from our universe.
Okay, so he's the, but I was kind of hoping Bruce would be one too, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, of course it's Kara and Supergirl and Flash and, you know, right. I mean, it was all of our dudes that were the paragons. It was kind of like,
well, it is their series,
right? But you still,
right?
I mean, yes, they brought in, you know, the Brandon Routh Superman, and that was cool. But I would have rather it had been Batman than Batwoman, just because I wanted more characters to have more screen time than what they got. Hell, they even undid Superman at the end, and he's gone too, you know.
Yeah, that was, I was disappointed because, let's talk about that. Brandon Routh as Superman.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
He is.
And I think, and it's so funny, I saw this on Twitter, I don't know if he said it, but it was in his Twitter stream, he had mentioned something. He is just like the embodiment of Christopher Reeve. And that's why they used him, because that movie was supposed to be the sequel to Batman.
He was
the Superman's, you know?
Yeah, he was very reminiscent of Christopher Reeve in that movie.
And then, exactly. And then you get that even in this show. And when he put that suit back on and that bright blue, and then I love the black. Oh, yeah. You went with the black? That was pretty cool. But then him standing next to, who's the actor that plays Superman?
Tyler Hoechlin.
Yeah. I feel bad. Because
he was definitely overpowering, you know.
Because, you know, Brandon Ruth's so much taller. And with that suit on, he is just, what was it, Kara that saw him?
Kara, yeah.
And she's like, you're jacked.
Yeah, you look jacked.
And they're like, no, this is your cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like him standing next to that suit, that made that Superman look inferior.
It did.
And I felt bad, because I like him. I do too,
and I like him as super. Like, I think when he has his show, like, I like that couple. Like, his Lois, I mean, that Lois and his Clark, like, they are good together.
Yeah.
But him standing next to Brandon Routh was like, yeah, he looked like Superboy.
Yeah.
Next to Superman, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, you're a dude. He's a man.
Yeah, that was, oh my God. That was great.
Because even in the fight, like, I didn't really buy at any point that, that little Superman was going to be able to stand toe-to-toe with big Superman.
Right.
You know?
Didn't Brandon Rose say, didn't he say that too? Like, I have a history of fighting myself or something.
Yeah, he says, it's not the first time I fought myself or something like that.
Yeah, that was
which again
really
was
good.
A callback to, like, the Christopher Reeve Superman movies.
Yes.
So, which I, again, I thought was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, which one was that? Two? Three?
Three, I think, right? Because two was the Zod, is like the...
Yes.
Superman 2 is Zod, and
3 is...
I think 3 is where it's like the red kryptonite version of some... I don't remember exactly what it was. It's been a long time, but... But yeah, he did a really great job, and I was disappointed that he was taken out of the show, because...
I'm disappointed, but I like the twist.
Well, I like the twist also, and I love John Cryer's Lex Luthor, like...
I agree with
Kevin Smith. Like, I think he's one of the best portrayals of Lex that we've really ever had.
Yes, most comic accurate.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Michael Rosa. Like, I liked Smallville Lex only because we had 10 seasons of him. Well, not quite.
Right, but that's not really comic accurate because there's no comic of that time.
Right, it wasn't comic accurate, but I liked his Lex.
Yes, overall. Exactly. And that's what, but, and I love the way that Kevin Smith, like, put that caveat on it. It's like, I'm not trying to say the other, like, Gene Hackman was, like, to me,
again,
Gene Hackman,
very cool.
He was the epitome because that was the first incarnation I'd seen on screen. But it's like,
and I mean, Jesse Eisenberg, how can we forget? You know,
I have his poster in my bedroom.
Being a little facetious.
Yeah. I didn't mind him. But
along with your shirtless poster of Michael Clark Duncan or what? It's like I have his poster in my bedroom.
Are you going to let that go?
No, but I'm curious about the Jesse Eisenberg poster you have in your bedroom.
That like, was a joke. Like,
oh, okay. I was like, really? I need to see that.
No, nobody's replacing Cheryl Teagues.
Yeah, okay.
Talk about dating us.
Yeah. No, it's Heather Thomas. It's that pink bikini poster that everybody had.
Wow, we off track.
Yeah, I was saying, what were we even talking about? Now I'm thinking about Cheryl Teague. No, we were talking about John Cryer's Lex Luthor.
Yeah, John Cryer, it's – who would have thought that he – I mean – I remember when they cast him. And
I wasn't
John
super
Cryer?
Excited. I was like, I like John Cryer, but he's a little ducky. You know, I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it, but he is great. He is. Yeah. And it, I mean, let's
again,
be
he's
fair.
An actor.
He's an actor, but also let's be fair. This is CW.
Yeah.
You know, he's not doing Hamlet here.
Right.
It's like, you know, it is corny. It is over the top, but it is enjoyable. And he is like that maniacal sociopath. That interview with him on the Aftermath was great. I was like, even Ted Bundy worked. Even Ted Bundy worked at a suicide hotline, so he saved some lives. People are complicated. like what?
But I love the fact that like he –
he's drawing off Ted Bundy as influence?
No. But if you listen to that from the Aftermath, if you listen to his interview, he insinuated himself back into this crossover.
Yes.
Because he was done. Like, his Lex Luthor, he was done with Supergirl, and he was done. And he said, oh, they're doing this crossover? I need to be part of that. And he got himself written back into it. So who knows what it was going to be without him.
I think that, do you think they wanted Rosenbaum and he said no? I think Cryer had already signed on though.
Cryer had already signed on.
They could have had two Lexes, no doubt.
It's possible,
about it.
Right. They could have had another Lex.
I think they wanted the Lex, they wanted that one Lex to go to, what's his name?
Oh, Tom Welling.
Tom Welling. Yeah. They wanted that meeting. You know what I mean? Cause look at Tom Welling's lines.
Well,
he's like, I missed these conversations or whatever he said to him.
I think that, what was I going to say? I think his cameo is my favorite out of all of them so far.
Wellings?
Yeah. Like, I was a little disappointed that he wasn't going to put the suit on.
No, mine's Ellis from Lucifer is my favorite so far.
Yeah, but I think this was the perfect cameo. Like,
it was good, yes.
It was the perfect ending for that character, you know, because, I mean,
Candace Patton online on Twitter? Mm-mm. And she actually retweeted a tweet that she put out in, like, 2014 or something, and she was, like, in love with him.
Oh, yeah?
And she I can't remember what it was. Tom Wellington. Oh, I think she called him Beef Wellington.
Beef Wellington.
And yeah. She's like, because that's what, and she tweeted that. She retweeted a picture, and this was in 14. She took a picture of him, and she's like, ooh, Beef Wellington. Like, you know, she really liked him. And then, so she retweeted that this week saying, like, because she was in that scene.
Yeah.
Why does he look like the guy from the paper towel?
Yeah.
Brawny. Which I thought was great because I'm like, damn it, he kind of does with the shirt.
Right.
It's like, and he's a lot bigger now.
He is bigger
now. Than he was
on
the show. He's wider. Yes. He's definitely beefier. Like, when he was on Lucifer, he was big too.
Right. Because, you know, as much as I like Lucifer, like, I don't have a 10-year history with Lucifer. Like, I watched Smallville for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I got very invested in that character in that show, and I liked the happy ending that he got. I mean, you know, the show didn't end on a down note. I mean, obviously he ended flying off into the sky as Superman, so it's not like we felt bad for him when the show ended. But
well, no, because you
I
know
feel
where he
now,
goes.
Right, but now I feel happier for him, like, he got kind of his happy ending. But I loved that, you know, Lex throws a punch at him and he turns around and catches it and he goes, still stronger.
Yeah.
I was like,
stronger.
That was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah. It was a great, I mean, his lines were great.
Yeah.
You know, his delivery of them were great. Yeah, it was I really liked it. You know, splitting wood.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really good. Yeah, Lex Luthor is so good. I hope he goes on, you know, in Supergirl and shows up in other episodes.
Yeah.
I know, you know, he's kind of like, as John Cryer said, it's like, you know, his character has kind of caught on. You know, who knew? Nobody knew where this was going. Even last year, a lot of people were like,
right,
he's only in three.
Not everybody was super excited about his casting. So
No, but after one episode, we were disappointed there were only three. Yeah.
Right.
I remember you and I talking about it, like, he's only in two more.
And they had to stretch it out.
Right, and they did. There were gaps in between and stuff, but I was going to save the Flash to wrap up with.
Okay.
So, what else we got? What other cameos you want to touch on? And any cameos you think that are coming? Because they said there's some surprise cameos coming.
Right, there are still more cameos coming. Kevin Smith said that.
Well, what's his name? The producer said it.
Yeah, that's right. The producer said it on that show. Well, I mean, we didn't touch on the Oracle and the Huntress one.
Yeah, that was good.
You know, Titans.
Right. Yeah. We said that they killed him off on, you know, like minute one.
Right.
But that was pretty cool seeing it.
But again, I was still surprised because they had said that was, you know. There was all these rumors that everybody was going to be in there, but then they kind of systematically debunked a lot of them. So I was still surprised to see the Titans.
Right.
You know, when it happened. But I was like, oh, that's awesome. Now, they showed us the two crappiest Titans, but at least they were there.
Yeah, you know. Robin.
Because you're kind of like,
Hawk.
What's Robin and Hawk doing together? Like,
well, I don't know if they were together. It's just two clips. It's like them seeing the sky turn red.
That's true.
So they could have been at different places on the planet. They didn't they weren't standing together. And I honestly, I was like, well, that's, you know, stock footage that they could have just one day on set. They're like, look up at the sky. It's not really a big deal.
Yeah, right. They might not have even done anything special for it. Where everybody else did. I mean.
Right. Right. And it, you know, Robert Wall had to sit on a park bench.
Right.
You know. Oh, speaking of that, did you see Will Wheaton?
I did, yes.
He opened the whole thing.
Yeah. I didn't know he was going to be in it either.
Me neither.
But yeah, he was pretty recognizable right away.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything to do with DC, but it's Will Wheaton. So
exactly. he's kind of a Comic-Con legend. So I thought that was pretty cool. It's like the end of the world, whatever he was saying. I'll be honest though, some of these cameos I'm a little disappointed with. I want, like, getting back to that whole Titans one where it's like, it's kind of like, well, we'll throw some stock footage in there. And then, you know, even like you said, like Huntress, and it's like, they were so quick.
I thought we were going to get a little more with some of them. A
little more interaction I would have liked.
Yeah. Even the Robin, you know, the Burt Ward was pretty quick. At least he got a line though. Some of them didn't even get lines. It's like,
right. But that's my point. At least he got a line. That's what we're saying?
Yeah, you know, well, I know.
You know, it's like,
right,
hey.
I did want a little bit more from, like, when you first heard that they were going to be part of the crossover, it's like, you think they're going to be part of the crossover. Like, I thought he was actually going to have an interaction and have something to do. And same thing with Tom with a lot of them, you know, and it really, they didn't have anything to do with any of it, really. They just were people that disappear. You know, just to show this planet's going away.
But I think the idea is also that they're linking all of these planets into this universe so that we know that they are all connected. Right. And like I said earlier, like, I want them to be neighbors, and they are, because their worlds are next to each other.
Right.
That's it. You know what I mean? So it's like, and they're basically explaining to our universe that this is how our universe works. This is where all of these stories are taking place.
Right.
I felt like where the comic was to bring everybody together, to simplify the comics for people, I feel like this one, I thought that's what they were going to do with this, but I feel like, at least after these first three episodes, I feel like what they're doing is just giving you an overview of what everything looks like. So that you can have all these different stories going. The one that I think somehow, some way, they will link the movies.
Well, right. At some point now, I think we might, right? We might get a Jason Momoa cameo or something. Although, again, I didn't think that we would.
I think the more likely would be a Zachary Levi, which would still link everybody.
Right.
Would link the movies, because Zachary Levi had already leaked that Superman.
Right.
In his movie. So he's linked to that. So you could, and he's the type of person that would be, I think Jason Momoa would do it too.
Well, Jason Momoa would do it too. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think those are the two that are most likely to show up. Maybe the next one would be Ben Affleck. No, I'm just kidding.
I'd say Henry Cavill would do it. Actually, I could see most of them doing it, except for maybe Affleck.
I know. You know? That's what I said.
I mean, Gal Gadot would probably do it also. You know, if you asked any of them to do it, I think they all would have done it. But the thing is, what does it cost them to get one of those people, even for a cameo? You know what I mean? It's like,
well, that's the thing. It's, what are you going to do? It's, I don't know. Do they, I don't know. What is that? Do they do it for cheap? Because it's just fun.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, there is a minimum they have to get paid. I know that, but
right, there's a scale that they have to get no matter what. But
right, and it's, you know, throw them a gift card to Amazon or something too.
Right.
I don't know.
But speaking of those, now this is way off the subject. But speaking of, like, Zachary Levi and Gal Gadot, have you seen that mashup that they did of her new Wonder Woman trailer?
Yeah.
There's that scene of her where she's kind of flying through the sky with her lasso and the lightning. She's like,
calling,
she
lassos
the
lightning. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it flashes down to the ground, and it's Zachary Levi shooting up the lightning from
the
stairs in Philadelphia.
That's awesome.
And I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, somebody put that together. It's like,
yeah,
that's
awesome, pretty cool.
Up.
And that would be a great scene in a movie when they are together.
Yeah,
and
that would,
like,
be cool.
You could, slingshot yourself across the sky.
Yeah, but somebody did that, and I was like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Where did I hear that? Was that on, I don't know if it was on the Nerdy Legion or what podcast, where they were like, people are complaining. I think it was Nerdy Legion. They're like, there's people complaining, like, why would somebody that can fly try to lasso lightning?
Oh.
And they're like, I think it was Martin on the Nerdy Legion, something like that. It was like,
first of all, the scene's taken way out of context, because we don't actually know what she's doing there.
It looks like she's lassoing the lightning and going to slingshot off of it, but, you know.
Yeah, but Never mind. It could be anything once we get to the movie. Right. You know, we don't know what's going
on
there.
But it's like, but, you, let's not complain about stuff like that. It's
right.
Like, it's
I know.
A comic book
because
movie.
It looks cool. That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Zachary Levi is the most likely to drop in, especially with that cheesy commercial he's got running right now where he's singing, whatever that is. And I love Zachary Levi, and that's why he'll do a commercial like that. It's like he's that, I mean.
He seems to have fun. Well, again, Jason Momoa seems to have fun being Jason Momoa also.
Right,
but
yeah.
But Zachary Levi seems to have fun with all this stuff. He seems to really enjoy. Yeah.
He was Chuck.
Yeah.
So what did you think? What do you think of Harbinger, Monitor, Anti-Monitor? Personally, I think they're the tether to the comics.
Yeah.
They seem to be the only thing that's the most accurate to the comics.
Well, in Pariah also.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good point. I forgot that. Yeah.
Those are the four that are really, they were the players in the comic as well. Like, the whole comic revolved around the Monitor and the Anti-Monitor, Pariah and Harbinger.
It's funny you say that. It's like, the reason I forgot him is because he didn't come in until later.
Right.
And then when it's like, you came in and he was like, oh yeah, we gotta have him too. And it's like, and I thought he did that's a great person for that.
Yeah.
It's like, I actually went back to the comic and I'm like, he kind of looks like him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I thought that was and when you see it after the fact, you're like, he's been on The Flash for what, 6 years now? And you're like,
yeah, and he's never been the same guy from one season to the next.
Well,
really.
He's same guy.
Well,
just from different planets.
Right. Well, but I mean, he's never been the same character. You know what I mean?
He's so much fun.
Yeah, he's so different every year. You know, from being like menacing villain in season one.
Well, season one, he went from being like, a mentor, great guy, and then you end the season where he's the big bad and you didn't even know it.
Right.
And that was really cool. Yeah, but you're right. Then the next, you know, he's that fun-loving guy.
Right.
Just
he's H.G. Wells.
Yeah,
well, not H.G. Wells.
Inspector Gadget type, you know, idiot.
Yeah, he wrote The Time Machine, so not H.G. Wells, but, you know, I can't even think of all his names, but you know, he's French Detective Wells, and then he's somebody different every year, you know. What was it, Sherlock?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. No, you know, he plays great characters, but then, showing up as Pariah, like, he looks just like him.
Yeah.
I think he's playing the role really well.
I think so too, although I don't remember Pariah in the comic, and again, it's been a long time since I've read it, but I don't remember him trying to actively go in and, like, help. It's like where he.
No, if I remember right, he wanted to, but he couldn't.
Right.
Right? Like he wasn't able to. He's like, I can't help you. I'm just here to watch.
Right. Whereas even in this one, he says that, like, he's not able to physically go in and help, but he's like, he's like dropping clues and he's still helping.
No, yeah. So but he helps by, like, he can't physically help, but like what he did with Cisco. And he's like, but I can read your mind because you used to be that person. So I'll know.
But I don't remember that character being able to do that in the comic, which is, again, it's just different. None of them are exactly the same. Yeah. But I feel like he's still, even though he's technically unable to help, he's still part of the team. Like, you know, he's still there helping.
Well, that's the idea. And I love the way they did that when he was on the ship and they're like, and Barry's like, wait a minute. He's only here when something's about devastating's about to happen. And so they kind of figured that out. That was pretty cool. So you see the team is starting to figure stuff out here. But yeah, getting back to Harbinger, Monitor, Anti-Monitor, and I mean, well, now by the end of it, all we have left is Anti-Monitor.
Right.
Like, yeah, I think they're like the most comic accurate. Harbinger's pretty cool. A different suit, but if you look, they gave her pants, which seems to be the way to go now. And
Everybody
said that to Kara,
pants.
Like, you're wearing pants.
Yeah. Who said that? Cal said that. Cal L, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but her suit is very similar to the comic. It's got the same pattern at the top and everything. they're hinting a little bit. They haven't really given away, I don't think, too much of her. Well, I guess they did, but they're not showing it like her inner turmoil.
No.
Like she
really...
mentally in the comic, like you obviously you know that she's upset. That right. she knows what she's about to do is wrong, but she just can't help it. Whereas right. in the show, they're making her just do it, and then she doesn't remember.
Right, right. You don't see it. There's no inner monologue. Like, you don't right. really.
Well, she literally says, feel. I don't remember where I was.
Right.
You know, whereas in the comic, she knew everywhere she was going. She knew what she was doing, but she didn't know why. She was just like, I just have this drive to go right. that way, you know. Who's the guy that's playing the monitor and Annie monitor? He's doing a great job.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. I saw it, you know, he did that interview on DC Universe a while back. I can't remember his name, but yeah, he's really good. I like him.
Hang on.
Yeah, I know you're looking it up. Please hold.
Yeah.
Lamont something or
LaMonica Garrett.
Yeah, that's it. I kept wanting to say Le'Veon Bell for some reason, but he's a football player. He's a running back or something. Yeah. So.
See, I knew him. I remember him from Designated Survivor.
Oh, okay. See, I
don't
didn't
know
watch
if you
that.
Watched that show. He was great. I didn't. He was one of the Secret Service guys.
Okay.
And he was strong, silent type, but he had a good role on that show. I think he's great on this show, and it's like he's so good on this show. It's like I remember the first time, like what was it last year we saw him in the crossover
elsewhere, right?
And I'm like, where do I know him from? And I had to look it up, and I was like, oh my god, because he's so much different in this. It's like, I mean, he's still a big guy, but right. with that suit on, and you're just like,
it's
wow,
different, yeah.
He's doing great. But I said a couple weeks ago about Harbinger. I was like Lila, like, uh-huh. cause that's her name on the show.
Yeah.
I was like, and she's been on that show since, I don't know, before,
season three, probably, or
yeah, two, yeah. three.
Yeah.
And it's like when she was called Lila, like we should have known. I didn't, it didn't ring a bell to me at the time.
Ring a bell to me now. Is that her name in the show? I mean, in the comic?
In the comic.
Oh, yeah. I never read Crisis since it came out in the 80s.
Yeah,
so.
It's the same thing. And it's like,
I never
would have
put
like,
that
what the
together.
Hell? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, it's like, she was going to be Harbinger. It's like, you would have known.
I don't know
like,
if they even knew that back then. Like,
that's
could it
what
possibly
makes...
be coincidence? I mean.
No. No.
I mean, it could be.
Well, why? I mean, maybe they – no. That's what I think is amazing about all this stuff is, like, these characters are all coming out, but it's not like they just changed their name.
No, but I think maybe they were like, well, we need somebody to be Harbinger, and they're like, oh, well, we have Lila, so let's make it be her. You know, it could have been
but
done the opposite way.
But you don't accidentally have the same name from the comic.
I don't know if they were even teasing Crisis that far back.
They didn't let us know, but – I don't know. It's like, the thing is you don't have a Crisis if Arrow stinks, season one.
Well, right.
You know, so when she came in, they knew they were probably already running with something, like they already knew they were doing the Flash. And I don't know. I don't
but
know.
Again, but I don't know if they knew they were going to do Supergirl and Arrow, Legends. Like, I don't know. That stuff all came.
Supergirl started on CBS. That was a big budget
right.
show when that
right.
started out. And so they had high hopes for that one. And that lasted right. one season, then it came over to CW. And even when it was on CBS, it had a crossover.
It did.
With
yes.
the Flash.
Right.
That was back. And that's what I think, like what you said earlier, that we probably won't have a big crossover again. But I think we'll have crossovers every year, but they'll go back to the small ones.
Well, they might. And I don't know that it. They're necessarily never going to do it again, but I think it was more like, don't count on something this big every year.
Right.
You know?
Well, this is huge. This is...
Right.
I mean, you can't... I mean, what do you
Well,
do?
Even as big as, say, like, Elseworlds from last year, which was at the time...
That was the biggest one.
Right. At the time, that was pretty big, too. You know? And like I said, we might not get that scale every year, but like you said, maybe it's just going to be a two-show crossover or something like that.
Right.
Like, right, you don't go to the trouble of bringing them all into the same world if you're not planning on ever bringing them back together again.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
So.
One of my favorite crossovers is the, It's the simple one, the musical one.
Yeah.
With Flash and Supergirl.
Yeah.
And that it was a crossover, but it was only really those two.
Yeah.
And then the other characters popped in here and there as, you know, Elseworld characters and, you know, whatever it was. But they had to sing their way out of it because they were both on Glee, I believe. So they did that crossover.
Yeah, that was like a Glee reunion more than anything. But
yeah. But I thought it was a really cool – I didn't think I was going to like it.
I didn't either, but I turned out that I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, I watched it. I think I told you at the time. I watched it three times.
Yeah.
Because I watched it myself, and then my daughter came home, and I was like, you got to see this. So I watched it with her. Then my wife came home, like, you got to see this. And so we all watched it, and they all loved it. And I was like, yeah, I loved it too. That was a few years ago. But I think that's the direction that they'll probably go, is they'll do crossovers like that, and at different points in the season too.
Right.
To keep it interesting, so it's not all like, this is like, well, even now, year in a row, they do them in December.
Right. Even now, you still get the little, like, you still every once in a while, like, Felicity would pop up over and at Star Labs or something. And that's, even though, not, like, it's not a hero crossover, it's still, they're still crossing the world. It still just serves to remind you that all these people communicate and they interact with each other. And, like, again, that's all you need sometimes. It doesn't have to be this grand of a scale all the time.
Right, right.
Because I'm sure a lot, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Like, this is still no Endgame. Like, it's not that
it's
scale.
It's the CW.
but what I'm saying is it's still, like, for them, this is like a lot of resource. Like, this is a big deal for them to put all this together. And I don't know that they can pull it off every year. Plus, again, they've been teasing Crisis since the first season of Flash. So, like, I don't even know what the next...
Well, that gets back to the Lila thing. So you just answered your question.
Yeah, but even that came... She came before Flash, you know?
Right, but she probably came in at the same time they knew they were writing Flash. You know, like, you know what I mean? It's like, when we saw the episode of Flash, which I think opened with that, but that crisis was supposed to take place in 2024, I believe.
Well, right, but it also could have been, you know, again, going back to season one of Flash, you still don't know how successful things are going to be. Like, that could have just been a cool thing they threw at in Flash that might have never panned out, you know what
I
mean?
Well, yeah. Well, that's why I think they put it at 2024, and then they bumped it up.
Right.
Because I remember Grant talking about it, saying, like, well, and this was a couple of years ago, because it was before we knew anything about this crisis event. Right. And he was saying, well, we want to get to crisis, but if we get there, our show will be in it for 10 years. And so it was in 2024. They started in 14. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like they were talking about it. But I find it interesting that it's like they bumped it up. I'm wondering if he knew that at the time. You're like, all right, we're gonna bump it up, but we're keeping people on their toes so they don't know when stuff's coming. Because imagine if it said 2020 or 2019 and we all were like, hey, I can't wait. So it was kind of cool how they did it. And to your point, you put it in and hoping that you get there.
Right.
But if you don't, no harm, no foul. It said 2024. We just never got there.
Right.
You know, but speaking of Flash, let's get to that. That final scene for Flash where, so if you know the comics, you know, Flash is supposed to go.
Right.
And according to the show, Flash is supposed to go. Supposedly Arrow was going to alter that. Oliver made a deal to alter that. That plan gets changed. And even the Monitor says, this isn't how it was supposed to go down. Which is kind of good news because they're already altering the future, right? Jumping to that end there where Barry is going to die and you're foreseeing, I mean, he didn't die on a treadmill in the comic.
Which I love that they brought the cosmic treadmill in from the comic because it's like, it's one of the silliest things. Like, comics have a lot of silly things in them.
Yeah, yeah.
But the cosmic treadmill is one of the silliest things that they have in the comics. And I love that they just leaned into it and brought it into this TV show. You know?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't quite the time travel cosmic treadmill, but still, the fact that he's running on a treadmill for 30 years was awesome.
Yeah. It. So Barry's going to die. We're going to see that. And then for them to do that old switcheroo, which there wasn't a second I thought Barry was going to die permanently.
Well, no, of course not.
But here's the thing. When we got to that scene, I thought we were going to get to see Barry die because we'd already seen a bunch of characters die that we know have to come back.
Right.
Right? The only one we know doesn't have to come back is Oliver.
Right.
And they're working to bring him back.
So, yeah, he'll still be back for his own show finale. So,
yeah, I guess. But that switcheroo, I thought that was really cool, and I really liked the way they talked about it in the Aftermath show, and it's going back to the original, 1990,
right?
Flash. And even the quote flashbacks, pun intended, that was really cool. And I mean, it really did give you kind of like chills, that like coming full circle.
Right.
It was really cool.
It was. And you don't get some of that if you didn't watch the show afterwards, if you didn't watch the interview part of it afterwards.
I did at the time when I saw the
scene. I don't know if
scene.
You get some of the weight of it. Well, but again, like. Of course, I remembered the Flash TV show, and in this, they did the flashback to the old TV show, and that was super cool. But you don't remember necessarily that show was just canceled abruptly, and that the character didn't really get an ending.
Well, I kind of did, because I like those shows, and they just go away. All those shows, they try them, and they go away.
Right, but... Like when I watched
because comic fans weren't as big back then. We were there, but we didn't have the voice that we have now.
Right.
That makes these things viable.
But I guess what I'm saying is when I watched the episode, the Crisis episode,
right.
When it was all said and done, I didn't think to myself, well, thank God John Wesley Shipp finally got his ending.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, you're
right. But when I watched the Aftermath show afterwards, when they talked about that, then yes. I was like, well, that was pretty awesome that John Wesley Shipp finally got his ending. So
right.
I don't know if you got the weight of that until you watched the interview afterwards. I still loved the flashback to his old TV show, though. Like, I thought that was awesome. And the fact that, again, when you go to the interview show later, they tell you that, well, that wasn't even part of the script. We just threw that in,
Right.
And I was like, well, that makes it even better, Like, I think if you didn't watch that show afterwards, you missed out a little bit. Like, because they gave you some good information that...
Right, yeah.
Make the episode a little bit
better. Well, hopefully
better,
people are getting it here.
Well, right. We're giving it to him now.
A week later.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. You don't get that kind of a gravity. But one of the things that they did hit on that I think is really cool about this and that scene is that it really shows that it's like all of these shows are coming almost like full circle, like Batman 66. Here it is. It's like, these are the parts that are... It's everything is coming into this everything, all of this, all of these universes are legit.
Right.
They're all coming in. They're all part of this. And some are ending. Some are just beginning. The new Arrow coming out or Kate Kane coming, all of these things are happening. It is kind of weird. You have this whole crisis event and there's no Batman. I like her, but I think, it's like you don't have the Batman.
Well,
we
had Kevin Conroy, but no.
Right, but I mean, like a legit Batman helping out.
Well, right,
like,
but I didn't
helping
think.
Helping solve this, but.
There was no point in my mind where I ever thought we were going to get that. Because he doesn't exist in the Arrowverse, and I don't think this is where they were going to introduce him.
Right.
What just popped into my head, for some reason, when we were talking about the, John Wesley Shipp in his cameo, he had still been served because he's been part of the Arrowverse for a long time.
Right.
Like, even if he never got that ending, he's still been part of the Arrowverse. And it made me think, where's Dean Cain and Helen Slater in this crisis? Because they're already in the Arrowverse. So, where's their cameo?
I heard
cameos?
That they're going to be in it, though.
So, I'm wondering now. Are they some of the surprise cameos that we haven't seen yet? because now I'm wondering, do we get Helen Slater Supergirl in here at all? Or like Dean Cain Superman? Or like, we already know they're down to come back for these shows because they're in them. So,
right.
And we already know we can have double duty because Erica Durance played, you know, Supergirl's mom and Lois Lane. So
yeah.
I think Dean Cain and Helen Slater pop up. And that would be awesome to see Helen Slater in her Supergirl suit. You know, I mean, she's older, but yeah, it would still be pretty cool.
I thought I heard that they were in it.
Well, see, I haven't heard that. And it just, when I thought maybe about John Wesley's ship,
I don't know.
It made me think of those two because, again, those are worlds that could definitely cross over
right
into this. And even if all we get is Dean Cain's Clark, like, he doesn't even have to be Superman.
Right.
You know, maybe he feels like he's too old to suit up as Superman, but he could be Clark.
Right.
Same thing as, like, I guess Helen Slater could be Kara, even if we don't see her as Supergirl. But I don't know. I hope we get to see them now that I'm thinking about it. It kind of seems a shame if they don't bring them back somehow.
Yeah.
Hell, we've like even had Linda Carter as the president, so can we get her back as Wonder Woman?
There was rumors that she was supposed to be in this, but
I did,
then those
you're right.
went away.
You're right, I heard that too, but now all the other rumors went away, but technically they didn't go away. They all came back, so it's
yeah.
possible. It's well, possible we see Linda Carter also.
Yeah. Yeah, she's already been on Supergirl.
Because now we're speculating on who the other surprise cameos are, and definitely makes sense for Linda Carter to come back and Dean Cain and Helen Slater to come back.
Linda Carter would be good because that would be a Wonder Woman. That's a right. character we don't have right now.
Right.
I'm really surprised we don't have a Batman. The one Batman we have is a character we've never seen. As right. Batman.
Well, I'm not. Because like I said, I didn't think we would ever get a Batman suited up. Because he doesn't exist in any of the shows at this point. You know? I mean, Bruce exists in theory in the Batgirl show because she talks about him. But we've never seen him.
Yeah, he's off somewhere.
I mean, hell, I guess technically we saw his suit because she's wearing it. And actually, we saw the suit in Kevin Conroy's place too with all the cobwebs on it.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Man, we have him on Titans.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it's just I just find that weird in a big event like this. You don't. He's. That's the thing is the one from Batgirl, whatever Bruce Wayne is, wherever he is, whenever he is, he's got to be in the universe,
right?
You know, so it's like, all right, where is he? What happened? Because you have two Supermen.
Yeah,
and they're both gone.
Yep.
Everybody's gone now.
Everybody's gone now. All you have is the Paragons and the Animonitor, right? You don't even have, I mean, is Pariah in Harbinger? Pariah can't be gone because he has to bear witness.
Right.
So right. he's still around. And I guess Harbinger is still around too. But
yes.
Monitor's dead. Well, we
think.
Yeah,
he just died. Right. No, he died. He wore out.
Well, right. But I mean, again, anybody can come back. So he's dead for now. Because, again, clearly they're going to undo a bunch of things and bring a bunch of people back. So, who knows? But right now, all we have is the Paragons and those three, right? Monitor,
yeah.
Anti-Monitor, Harbinger, and Pariah. And that's the only thing left in existence. Well, no, and we have Spectre. We know Spectre's there.
He's somewhere.
He's somewhere, but
that's the thing. They left Purgatory.
Well, right.
That was a pretty funny line. Lee yeah. and you is like, what I don't know what language is it, but it's
oh I don't
something.
Know, but
it's
yeah, that means
purgatory.
Right,
in that
it means
language.
Purgatory.
And then yeah, they're like,
because
that's,
you know, because that
well,
wouldn't
isn't
go
that
away
a coincidence?
Either. That would exist outside of space and time because technically it's heaven or you know it's purgatory. So,
right.
And plus we've seen the in the previews for next month we saw Oliver so as Spectre,
right.
So we know he's still there. But like I said, everybody else is gone. So. I don't remember the point I was making when I brought that up. I know I had a reason for saying it, but I can't remember what it was.
What do you think? I don't think it really is mirroring the book too much. I thought that was pretty accurate before in that those four characters are pretty much the tether to the book.
Yeah, and
then
that's
they're
kind of where it ends as far as the
right.
story. 'Cause it's a completely different story. Like the setup to how we got here in the shows is way different than how right. it came in the comics. And the reason it exists in the comics to begin with is different than why we're getting it on the show.
And what, Wolfman wrote Wolfman, the comic.
Right, Wolfman wrote the comic.
And he's working on that comic that's going to link this to that.
Yes.
So that should be interesting, because they're not doing it just to put a comic to the show. They're actually taking the show and linking it to the he's writing an original story to link these two events together.
Right.
Which I think is pretty interesting.
It is.
So that'll be fun to look at. We can look at, I'm sure we'll have all the answers to that in January, or at least by then, maybe. I don't know how many issues that is. Is it just one?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It might just be one, because they're those 100-page giants or whatever that they do for Marvel. I mean, okay. I don't know why I want to keep saying Marvel for Walmart.
I know.
But they're, like I said, they're 100-page giants, which are generally, like when they do them for Superman and Batman, it's like a 100-page giant, but it's like four or five different stories.
Yeah, I think this might one be, original and then yeah. like four fillers.
Although I do know that in the Crisis one, it is also going to include issue one of, like, the original Crisis.
Crisis, right.
Yeah, so at least 20 pages or so are going to be that. But I think the rest cool. of the book is going to be all that one story. So it might just be one issue.
Well, at the time we're talking about this, at the time that we're talking about it, it's not out yet. But when people hear it, it will have been out the day before.
Right.
So that we'll probably have more on that next week. But yeah, we'll do a deep dive on the book and the show, and after the 14th in January, that'll be good.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see how they wrap this up and see what they do with Ollie.
Yeah, well, and like I said, I'm interested to see where the shows go after this, because, like, for instance, when they made a point of saying that Legends of Tomorrow their season
now.
Premieres basically with Crisis.
Right.
But, like, what does the second half of this Flash season look like? Like, is he still dealing with Black Tar Guy? I can't remember what's going on over there.
Yeah.
But, like, are they just going to go back to where they were before Crisis started? Like, it can't just be status quo. Things are going to have to be different.
Right.
In all of these shows afterwards. But, like, on Supergirl, you know, there's that whole thing with Lena that's going on. That's not going to be wrapped up when they come
right.
back, you know. But
yeah, or what are they doing with – when does the new Arrow show start? It's not this year, is it? Because all the
season.
Characters are there. It's
I would imagine
season.
Next season, yeah.
Okay.
So,
because they only have the 10 and they're
right.
done.
Right, they're done, but we get – we still have the back half of Batwoman, Supergirl, and Flash –
And then Legends comes
and Legends
in, takes
comes
the place
in,
of Arrow.
Takes the place of Arrow. But same thing, like on Batwoman, you still have the whole Alice thing going on. So it will seem weird to me if Crisis happens, and then when it's over, everybody just goes back to what they were doing yesterday. It
to
feels
exactly
like it,
the same thing.
Yeah, it feels like it should
well,
be different.
Well, they do that every year, and usually the first episode back, they'll have a small mention of it,
yeah.
and then it's just back to business as usual.
But but wouldn't it be cool if, like, Alice doesn't come back? She just stays dead. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what the, it seems to me, cause if this ends up being just like every other comic book event where the event happens and then everything just goes back to what it was before the event, you almost wonder why did we have this event to begin with? You know? Like, if nothing's gonna be different,
right.
why did we even have it? The only
right.
reason why we had it is so we could save Barry from dying. That's it. Otherwise, nothing changes. Everything
right.
just goes back to the way it was. I don't want that necessarily. Like, I want things to be different on all of these shows after this happens. Otherwise, what was it for? So I'm
right.
kind of
yeah,
curious
you want,
to see.
You want there to be a consequence.
Right. So I'm curious
to
see where the,
to
what happens.
Something.
Yeah. What happens.
Because
with
that's
these shows
what was
afterwards.
Great about the book. There was consequence.
Right. Exactly. Like they.
So
it was radically changed afterwards. It's
but there
thing.
Was a
like,
purpose to that.
Because
though.
Here's the thing. Like prior to Crisis, Supergirl didn't exist on the same Earth as Flash and Arrow.
Right.
But after the Crisis, they will exist on the same Earth. So
right. So they're going to be able to save some Earths, not others.
Right. So
do they get people, but not Earths?
Right. Is everybody back? So, like, how does Supergirl's world stay exactly the same when she's on a different Earth now? Like, does Lena go over there? Like, maybe, like, Lena might go over, but LexCorp doesn't exist on that Earth anymore. So what is she the head of? Like, where's her office? Like, where are they going to meet up and talk?
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
I feel like they have more to do in the next two episodes...
Right.
...than they did in the first three.
I just can't see how everything can be the same on all the shows. Yeah. Same thing with, like, Black Lightning, which I don't actually watch, but...
Right.
He's going to exist now on the same Earth as everybody else. Like, do all his bad guys come over, too? Like, I don't know what was going on that show.
Prior. I think Spectre's going to have a huge role in all of this.
Yeah.
He's going to be the one linking all of their Earths. Maybe that's the deal, or maybe that's something that he's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's like,
I think
that's, I hadn't really
but
even
I think that's the
about
link.
It.
I think that's the link that's going to save. And like, you can go back to your Earth, but you're going to have a tighter link because of Spectre to the other Earths. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Again, we don't know, but the talk
Let's tell
of
people we do know, and we're pretending we don't.
Well, but I'm saying the talk all the way leading up to this was that everything was going to be consolidated to one Earth. So if that doesn't actually happen, again, what was it for? You know,
right.
But if they all end up on one Earth, everybody can't make it over. Because you can't fit... Like, even think about what they did on the first episode. You can't bring 3 billion new people and just plop them on your new planet.
Right.
Like, where are they going to get jobs? Where are they going to live? Where are they going to get food? Like, 3 billion people is a lot of people.
Drop them in China. Right. You wouldn't even notice.
Right, you won't even miss them.
It's like, but, what if you double the size of the country? They're not going to notice over there.
But you can't bring everybody. Like,
right.
It's going to have to be a meshing of something.
There's going to be a consequence, too.
Right,
like,
there has to be.
Billions of people are going to have to die.
Right, there has to be consequence. But again, if billions of people die, what are the odds that all your main people from all the shows make it?
Well, pretty good, because they have contracts.
Right, I guess. If the other 10 billion people had better agents, they'd still be alive. You know?
Sorry. Sorry, Nebraska.
Right. I guess we'll figure it out. Or they'll figure it out. We'll see it.
I like that the last two are just back-to-back.
Yeah, we don't even have to wait another night.
Yeah, you're not waiting a night. It's just back-to-back. So me, on the 15th, I'll be up that morning and
that's right.
2 hours.
Yep.
Which isn't really a big deal because after the show, you go to bed anyways. When I wake up, I just see it before you did, before you get up. All right. Hopefully you watched the crossover, the crisis event, because if you didn't, you're probably not still listening to us now anyways.
Exactly.
So what did you think of it? Let us know on Twitter at brightside_chat or email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Hey, proud members of the Nerdy Legion. Lots of stuff there. There's so much stuff we can't even talk about it anymore. It's like Indie Alley, listening to those guys all the time. Big fans of Dr. Joe. So happy. I was thinking of that the other day. That's pretty cool. That's part of our tree.
Joined
the Nerdy Legion. They were already there. I think they were there before us. They were there, and then Dr. Joe found them because we got in there. Now they're good friends over there. They follow him on Twitch. Follow Dr. Joe on Twitch.
It all comes. We're the catalyst. It all comes back to us.
No, we're not the big. No, but just we have that little one. I think that's pretty cool, you know. And I mean, I listen to those guys all the time. It's like actually last week's podcast I listened to them is actually they talked about 3 books I hadn't read yet. And oh crap, what was one of them? They were talking about one, and I wanted to say to him, like, I thought it sounded just like it's an indie book. Maybe you know about it. It's what the heck was the name of it? But it sounded like Last Action Hero.
Oh yeah,
it was a book about that. So it was a comic book version of it. And I actually wanted to read it. So the kid picked up a comic book, and the character in the book came to life. The hero in the book came out.
I didn't read
of the
it.
Book.
Yeah,
I know. I'm just saying, but you know what I mean. But that's exactly what happened in Last Action Hero,
right?
Only that was the movie, or you know what I mean. But yeah, they talked about 3 books that you and I hadn't read or talked about. And I was like, oh, pretty cool. I think two of them I actually wanted to grab.
Cool.
And see that? Look at me. Unfortunately, I don't even remember the names.
Yeah.
So, but
it's gonna be hard to grab them.
I can go back and listen to them though.
You can.
So, yeah, Indie Alley. Awesome. All right. Let's get out of here. It's late. We will be back on Thursday. Thursday. Yeah, we'll be back Thursday.
Yep.
That's good, right?
That's good.
Books come out on Wednesday. We'll be back Thursday.
There you go.
Have a good night. Happy holidays.
Actually, I was going to say, aren't we coming back with our Rise of Skywalker? Isn't that Thursday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we have a huge week.
Yeah.
So Thursday morning, we have our normal podcast, Week in Comics. Friday morning, we're dropping our first impressions of Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
This is a big week.
It is.
I forgot about that. We just talked over 2 hours on Crisis, and we're just like shooting the beep.
Yep.
We're waiting to get to Rise of Skywalker. So we have that. So that's dropping. So Friday morning, we'll be putting that out. Our first impressions, short, fanboy.
Yeah.
And then that night, Thursday night, we actually release a spoiler free. Do we? I forget how we did Endgame. Because we did put out, I think we put out a spoiler free that night. But then
we did. When we dropped Endgame initial impressions that first night, I think it was mostly spoiler free. And then we came back the following week with like our...
Okay, so be spoiler free would be on Friday morning then. Yeah. We'd be dropping that night, so you'd be able to have that. Put it this way. When you hear us on Thursday, we'll have it all figured out.
Yeah.
Thursday morning, it'll be all figured out. You'll know how much content you're getting and when you're getting it.
All right.
All right. Big week. Can't wait for Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good week.
All right. Take care.
See you then. Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.